should turn again to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. We were there this morning, and we highlighted this morning that right thinking leads to right believing, which leads to right speaking, in fact, which leads to right receiving. There's a correlation between these activities. And right at the start, here's one that we've got to get, that Galatians 5:1, it says this: stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Past tense. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Well, the fact that he says, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, means that there's a possibility of us being entangled again with a yoke of bondage. And let me just say nice and clear tonight that the yoke of bondage that he's talking about in a general sense in the book of Galatians is the yoke of bondage of dead religion. Dead religion is a yoke of bondage. You see, religion tries to get us to do certain things on the outside that will make us look good, appear good, nice to everyone. How are you doing? God bless. I'm a nice person, you know, and all that. But without, you can do all of that without having the inside changed at all. Or with perhaps little bits of changes. But that's the opposite of what Jesus is wanting for his people. You see, he said to the Pharisees, listen, you Pharisees, you whitewash tombs. You look good on the outside, fair enough. But on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. And what Jesus wants is life from the inside. And the life from the inside, that produces then on the outside, so that our day-to-day lives are totally and radically transformed. Because why? We're changed on the inside. We're different people. The Bible describes it as the born-again life, being born from above, John 3. So freedom that we're talking about here is nothing to do with what we've done, but it's something we believe in, based on what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Now listen, watch this. We've got a choice of what we believe. It's a choice. We can believe this, we can believe that. I know some people who believe some very funny things. And you do as well. It's a choice. Everyone says, now let me ask you this. Will you believe what the scripture says? Now everyone's going to answer yes to that. But my point is this. We answer yes to it because we think we should answer yes to it. And we're right. Yes, we should answer yes. But if we really mean yes, then we will make a determined and concerted effort regarding the scriptures. You see, the force of faith needs to be present and active in our day-to-day lives. We must engage in faith in our day-to-day lives for our lives to be manifesting the victory that Jesus has for us. And that faith aspect is, what is it? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of which is not seen. So that exercising of that faith must take place for our Christian lives to be authentic. That's the authenticity of our lives. And we exercise that faith in all manner of things. I will have faith. I will not be sick. I will not. I'll exercise my faith and I'm not going to be sick. Why? Because I'm believing what Jesus says more than what I see and what I feel. I believe what Jesus says more than what I see and feel. Now this is difficult to grasp so often because we've been used to living by what we see and feel. And so those are the tangible things we see, we feel. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of which is not seen. So there's something in the way. It's an obstacle. Finances, health, whatever it might be. And it's there, and it's glaring, and it's staring at us. It's in the way. And how do we respond? Well, we've got a choice. We either respond by being led by our human emotions, where we will become discouraged and defeated and downcast and, you know, everything just negative, or we can do what we have been provided for in the scriptures. And we can say, regardless to the evidence, I resist it and I will receive from Jesus, because I know that he's my Lord. I know he loves me. I know that he's made provision for me. He said it in his word. He never contradicts his word. And therefore, with faith, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it with faith. Amen. I'm going to take that thing. It may not exist right now, but I'm going to bring it into existence by faith. Amen. My faith is going to lay hold of it, and I will be different thereafter. It can be in any area of life. Something in our day-to-day lives. The Bible says this, the just. You want to be just? In God's sight, the just shall, not might, shall walk by faith. You see, the way this has been given so often to the church is that this is something for nice little Christians. You know, those nice, you know, those are the extra, they're doing something. No! This is normal, normative Christianity. Faith! I have a responsibility to demonstrate faith in my life. If I'm not, then I am not walking in faith. I'm going to demonstrate faith because the Bible tells me the just shall walk by faith. And it says that this is what's for me. Now listen, it's easy not to do that. The human emotions, evidence that we see before us, the feelings that we have, very easy to walk a different way. But let me encourage every one of you, my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much, and Jesus wants the best for you in life. And what I am saying here this evening is the best for you. This is the best life. This is the Jesus life. This isn't religion. This isn't dead religion. This isn't that boring old religion. This is the Jesus life. This is abundant life. This is the life that causes a transformation of a person and a transformation of a family and a transformation of a village, of a church, of an entire society. This is the life of faith. John Wesley's life, a life of faith. Doing that which doesn't make sense in the natural very often, but doing it led by the Holy Spirit, the life of faith. He's calling us into that. And let me tell you this, the enemy will try and stop you at every single step you make. Every time you try and advance, listen, don't be ignorant of his schemes. We're not, are we? No, he'll try and stop you. He'll try and get in the way. He'll try and just at every little bit, if he sees you making an advance, he doesn't like it. Anytime there's an advance in the spiritual world, the spiritual kingdom, you find that usually beforehand or just after, there is a subsequent attack. The enemy's, you know, he's involved. I mean, In Mark 4, it says, for example, when the word is sown in the heart, what does the enemy try to do? He tries to steal it the moment it's sown in the heart. An interesting thing happened, you know, even yesterday. Strange things were happening yesterday. Before our dear brother was coming up with the family, strange things were happening in our home. The electric cut off. And then we put the thing back on. The electric went back on. And then it went off again. And I phoned up the electrician. And I said, there's something very funny here. And as I was speaking to him, Micah was putting the kettle switch down. And all of a sudden, on the other side of the room, the microwave oven was flashing on and off. And the fridge on the other side was flashing on and off when she was touching the kettle thing. And I phoned the electrician up, and he was saying, that's very strange. He said, they're not even connected. Strange things. And I put the phone down, and also I had a feeling, I had a sense of like a heaviness pressing in on me. I saw, the only way I can describe it, a heaviness pressing in. And I thought, you know what? What this is there's funny things going on. There were some other things which I won't mention, but there was things going on. And I sensed this is an oppressive spiritual attack. This is like a blanket trying to come in. And I asked Micah, she said, you know, I think you're right, because she felt it as well. Like think something coming in. And I thought, now what's going on? Okay, we've got service tomorrow. That's so that okay. And Brother Aaron's coming up. Okay, now, we've had a very interesting afternoon. Very important conversation. Things happening. Praise God. We know that things are going on in the supernatural kingdom in the future. And, you know, before that, the enemy tries to get in. It was interesting. Many times you see things like this. So why am I saying it? I'm saying it for this reason. Listen, when you make an advance, sometimes there's things that go on. So don't be discouraged. Don't think you've done the wrong thing. You've done the right thing if you're walking in faith. And listen, it doesn't matter what he tries to do. The enemy is defeated. He is defeated. So when something comes, that's all you have to do. This is no big scheme, honestly. This is no big scheme. We've had all sorts, all manner of things going on. When we used to play in places like Kensington Temple and lead the worship or do things there, and there was witches in their plants and all sorts of characters and things, you know. Listen, the truth of the matter is this: when a Christian stands in faith, we're not the ones cowering down, okay? We're not the ones running from the building. They're the ones running from the building. Because who's in us is God Almighty, with all the power of the resurrection. He is alive in us. He's alive in you. You're a Christian, you're a believer. The power of the resurrection is in you. So we are powerful people. But you see, very often, what's happened is we haven't exercised that. We haven't placed a demand on our faith. You see, unless you place a demand on it, nothing will happen. If you place a demand on it, you'll find that God works. Faith works. Faith is his power. It works. Now you see, we could be sitting, Errol could be saying to me, I've got a new song. I'd love to play it. I've got it all out there. Just need the electric thing. And if we didn't plug this thing in there and switch it on, he wouldn't have any power supply. So it's not that the power supply wasn't here. It'll take him to go and plug the thing in and switch it on. Then we've got the power supply. The power supply was here all the time. But you have to do something in order to use it and take benefit from it. Faith is here all the time. Faith has been given. A deposit of faith has been given to each one of us. That's not the question. The question is, are we plugging it in? Are we using it in our lives? Are we putting a demand on our faith? Are we saying, faith, you work for me in my life. Work for me in my life, faith. I want you to work. I'll plug you in. And I'm plugging you into God Almighty. And when we plug into God, we have God's resources. And those resources come down from him into us as believers and out of our lives. It's the most powerful, wonderful thing. Amen? That's for us. That's for you. That's for me. That's why I know he's called each one of us to be a champion. We've all got different areas in life, different spheres of influence. But each one who has Jesus on the inside is called to be a champion. Praise God. We're not called to be also ran. You're not an also ran. You're not just making up the numbers. No. You are a child of the living God. You're a co-heir with Christ. You are blood-bought. You're a champion. And I tell you this, you are called to reign as a king or a queen in this life. And that reigning means taking dominion. Taking dominion. So it's not a case of saying, oh, well, things are this way for me. Listen, all those things, start speaking to them in faith. Start talking to those situations. Start getting your thinking right. And then when your thinking is right, speaking is right, receiving is right. You see, believe and receive, or doubt and go without. But we're not going to doubt and go without. We're going to believe and receive from him, aren't we? Amen. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. It's mine. I'll have it now. In the word of God, it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. It's mine. I'll have it now. Now come with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Because this is a very important verse. Very important for us to get this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Now the word there in the Greek is rhema. It's not logos. It's rhema. Now the difference is the logos is the written word. Rhema speaks of the Lord speaking his dynamic living word into a believer to in-birth faith. God imbirths faith as we receive, as we hear the word of God. You see? Well, that's one of the things. If you've got someone who's struggling with various things in life, very often what you find is this. Do you read the word? Well, I'm not really a reader. What's that got to do with the price of cheese? If you're not a reader, what's that got to do with anything? Listen, let me encourage you. If you're not a reader, let me encourage you. My uncle was dyslexic in Wales, rugby player. And after his rugby was finished, nightclub bouncer. Dyslexic, but a brilliant artist. Very good at painting. Very lovely man. He couldn't read or write. They thought in those days, he was a fool. They thought he was just a fool, low intelligence, and they dismissed him. But actually, he's a very intelligent man. It was them who weren't so bright. Schools, some things in the school system haven't changed. Just in different areas. God bless them. The point is that he prayed. He said, Lord, help me read. Well, now he reads and studies the Bible and has notes upon notes upon notes, and found that reading the Bible was not like reading any other book. He can read the Bible to a degree that he can study it because God's given him the answer to that prayer. He asked God for it. God gave it to him. Hey, God's not going to stop people from getting that. Why am I talking about this? I've found that when people aren't living in victory, when there's difficult things like this arising in people's lives, and it's very often a lack of studying of the Word is a key part of the issue. Studying the Word is vital. Now, I'm not talking about reading, I'm talking about studying it. Saying, hey, in your Word, Lord, it says this. How come my situation is like this? Now, that's a good way of praying, honestly. Get to the Word and then get to God and your relationship with God and say, Lord, how come in my life I'm experiencing this, but in the Word it says this. I'm doing a Bible study because I want to live in victory. Pray prayers like that. Call out. And you can do it with conviction when you know what the Word says. Let me say it like this. When I'm not much of a reader, generally speaking. I'm just not. Although I've got quite a few books, and probably in comparison, I do a fair bit of reading. But, you know, I'm not like some I know. But when I was quoting Micah, when I first met Micah, and I'd received letters in the post, I wasn't casual with those letters. I mean, I'd receive those letters, I'd pick those letters up, and I'd open those letters quickly, I'd look at the envelope, look at everything she wrote on it, look at the colour of the envelope, assess the colour, assess the little picture on the side, the way she's written my name. How does she write my name? Does she write my name in a nice way? I want to show, how does she write my name? She wrote all my names. She wrote Stephen Lynn Evans. Ah, she's thinking of Stephen Lynn Evans, not just Stephen Evans. Oh, you know, it's amazing what the human brain goes into. I'm confessing it all now, look. You can all know now the depths of the way I'm... You know, I was totally enthralled with those letters. And then what I did was, when I got the letters and I got them open, I'd read the letter. I'd get everything just right, and then I'd sit down and I'd read the letter, drink it in, the letter. And then after I read it once, do you think I'd just put it down and, oh no, twice and three times and four times, and reading it over, and then just reading little bits of it, and then looking at the end of it. And when no one was around, I just get to a bit where she signed her name and I give a little... too much information. I'm saying it to convey the type of emotions that are stirred in you when you get a letter from someone you love. So why is it that there are some Christians who say, I don't bother reading the letters of the New Testament because I'm just not a reader? If you understand that the one who sent the letters loves you, and if you love them, you'll want to read the letters. Amen? Amen. So studying to show yourself approved is not a difficult burden. It's a beautiful task that we can engage in with an excitement and an anticipation. I'll tell you the truth. What I found was when I started to read the scripture and study the scripture with an attitude that says, now, it says this, this is Jesus' words to me. And in fact, I picture Jesus. But someone told me, just picture Jesus standing before you saying these words. Would you listen? I said, yes. So, well, it's the same thing. He is the Word. The Word is God's will. So just picture, this is God's will for you. So that got me thinking. And then I thought, well, okay, if I read this then, and I read this with an intent, so not just casual, but reading it saying, this is what God says to me. I mean, this is his will. He's speaking to me. See, he says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's for me. That's me. And then he says, well, faith as big as a mustard seed, you can speak to your mountain. I said, well, if that's really the case, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start speaking of mountains. And let's see if the word works. See, some people have never entered into this because I don't know whether it's a fear of failure. Whatever it is, it's a lack of faith. Whatever it is, it's wrong. But listen, enter in and say, Jesus said that I can speak to the mountain. And start speaking to mountains. Some people, the mountains growing up everywhere, all around their lives, and they're getting depressed. And they go, oh no, look, there's another mountain. Oh no, oh no. And then what they do is they're looking up, oh Lord, please, please remove the mountains from my life. Oh, if only you'd move the mountains. And I tell you what's happening on the other end of the conversation. God is shouting down. Jesus is saying, hey, listen, I'm sitting down now. I say, it's finished. I've written a book. It's in the book. It's called the Bible. Read the Bible, and then you'll know what to do. I've given you what to do. Because I'm not doing it anymore because it's finished, and I'm sitting down at the right-hand side of the Father. And there they are. I've seen pastors like this. You know, oh, if only you, oh, if you would move the mountains, if you would do it, if only you could move the mountains. And you see, and then they think that they've done the right thing. You see, they think that they're now spiritual because they're in prayer. That's not prayer. That's talking, but it's not prayer. Because for prayer to be real prayer, it's got to be in faith. And that's not in faith because it's in disobedience to his word. So it's not a prayer of faith. Isn't it interesting that in James it says the prayer of faith will make the sick person well? Not the prayer, the prayer of faith. So being in faith means we be in his will. Being in his will means we're in his word. Being in his word means that we don't call up to him and say, oh, if only you move the mountains. No, we're not doing that. We're not messing around with those games anymore. We've read what he says. He says, you speak to the mountains. You, Christians, speak to them. And so now he's saying, right, now I enter into a place where I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm telling you, move. And you see that there's power behind his word. I'm telling you the truth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth backs his word up. He backs up his word. He doesn't betray his word. There's power in the name of Jesus. And he backs up his word. So when we start stepping out in faith, and we start saying, you know what, I'm going to walk in faith. The just shall walk in faith. I'm going to walk in faith. I must then start speaking to mountains and moving them in Jesus' name. We're not called to be victims. We're not called to be, oh, poor me, oh, God, just, you know, oh, if only you would, if only. No, that's not for us. That's not the New Testament life that's described in the scripture. That's not for us. Now listen, that's what the word says. That's Bible teaching from the word of God. He says this, and that's why this morning, you remember this morning, I gave a provocative illustration of the man who was the alcoholic. And he says to me that he's praying to God to deliver him of his alcoholism. And my answer to him was, God's not going to answer your prayer for the following two reasons. Now you can see this now. I'm illustrating this even further than this morning. Take hold of it. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Your religious self doesn't want to take hold of it. Watch, it's your religion.
If you think, oh, I liked everything he said, but I didn't like that last bit. It's religion. Honestly, I promise it is. You can come and talk to me after. We'll go into it more. But I'm promising you, it's religion that stops. Because why am I saying religion? Religion is devoid of power. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's what religion does. And what this says is, watch this. Now listen, we've all been there. Hey, I'm learning, okay? We're all in the same place. We're all learning together. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are two reasons why that's wrong, prayer. And God's not going to answer it. One, God's already provided for our deliverance. For example, Colossians 1:13, well, we could go into many that we've already touched on this evening, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from it. Past tense, he has delivered us. See, if I say, oh, I'm desperate for you, that's why I'm not going to sing that song. Oh, I'm desperate for you. I'm not desperate for him. He's delivered me from the kingdom of darkness. He lives in me. We're not desperate for him. Wrong thinking. And that thinking gets into people's minds. And that trains people's minds. And then people think the wrong way. And when we think the wrong way, we start believing the wrong way. When we believe the wrong way, we receive the wrong way. Can you see how it all adds up? I love everyone in this place, and I want the best for everyone. If I'm passionate, that's the reason. Because I just want victory for us. Because I know when we are living in his victory, others are going to be impacted powerfully. And in turn, those others will be. And those others, and those others, and those others, and other generations. And we're going to see a great thing. Praise God. That's what he's calling us for. He's called us into that. That's our portion. And the second reason why that prayer was the wrong prayer and God wasn't going to answer that prayer was because if God has provided something for us, we are not to beg him to give it to us, as I illustrated here with the mountains. You see? But what happens is cliche Christian thinking comes in. We listen to someone else. We have a sentimental thing. We feel sentiment in our hearts. We one thing leads to another. And all of a sudden, we're trapped in something that's got no power. But it's got plenty of sentiment and religion. And that's not what we're about. So it's important for us to understand that. I mean, I'm just so happy. Because in Luke 4, 18 and 19, God has set his people free. We won't need to turn to it now. But you know, Christ didn't fail in his mission. Christ didn't fail. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus didn't fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody in the room knows it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't fail. No. Some people who say they follow him think that failure is the way to go. But Jesus didn't fail. And we're not failing either. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't fail. And we're not going to fail either. On the cross, he said, it's finished. John 19:30. And in his high priestly prayer, Jesus said he'd completed the work he came to do. John 17:4. And Paul wrote that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Past tense. He has set us free. Oh, glory to God. So look, I want to lead everyone in something, just a declaration, a short declaration. Let's stand together, shall we? This is a powerful declaration. So when we feel the bondage of condemnation coming in, and for actions, or when we experience negative circumstances, we're going to say this. Repeat after me. It is written.
It is written.
It is God who justifies me. I am completely forgiven and made righteous before Him. I refuse to accept any condemnation.
Hallelujah. There's a time to pause right there. Hallelujah.
And I reject
every symptom of the curse
that I'm seeing in my circumstances.
I will walk by faith
and see the victory of Jesus
manifest in and through me
all the days of my life.
In Jesus' holy name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Oh, glory be to God.